It's been a great day of worship so far. I hope that you have been encouraged. I hope our time in the Word together will encourage you as well. Colossians 3, we're going to pick up where we left off last week. If you remember, we left off talking about husbands and wives. And this week we'll be talking about parents and their children. And so there it is. That's why the kids are going to stay with us today. But I'm going to begin reading at verse 17. And I'm going to read through the first verse of chapter 4. We're going to listen to all this together, but we're going to spend our time focusing on the section about children and their parents. So the word of the Lord says, "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Slaves, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you do not simply want the gospel to be proclaimed and lived out in the life of a church. Lord, you desire to change the way we live amongst one another as a family at home. So there is power for us in your word. Please transform our minds and our hearts. Lord, to live and do, to be parents and children in such a way that is pleasing to our God. Have mercy on us now during this time. And Lord, help us to hear the things that we need to change in our life to be more like Jesus and to represent your gospel in our homes. We ask it in his name. Amen. Not too long after we became parents, my wife and I were coming home from church with our one daughter at the time, and this one daughter was always just so well behaved. Just a good little girl who seemed to do everything that her parents always asked her to do. She brought so much joy into our life. She had a good temperament, and even when she was so small, she loved to listen to her parents. And we thought this is just the way that it was going to go, right? Things would always be this way, I guess, you know? So things were smooth sailing at that time. But we got out of the car, set her down in the driveway, and told her to come inside, and then it happened. You know, it happened. I think it was the first time. She refused to do anything that we told her to do, and she just started crying right there in the driveway. She would not move one step and just sat there. And so, you know, we didn't really know what to do at the time. Like, what are we going to do? We're not going to, like, force her. We want her to want to come inside, right? And so we just left her in the driveway. We went inside, and I can remember looking out of our window in our kitchen and just watching this little girl cry, probably a year and a half old, crying out in the driveway, a puddle of tears. And it was that day. We were introduced to the fact that there is going to be tension between children and their parents. They're not always going to get along perfectly. And we have felt that ever since. And the scary thing is that we've had so many people tell us since then, you just wait till they become teenagers, right? And so we've not even just barely gotten there yet. We're on the doorstep now of the teenage years with that same little girl in the driveway so many years ago. And I imagine that many of you here this morning have either experienced what I'm talking about, you're experiencing it right now, or you will experience it someday in the future. Because being a parent is one of the most amazing experiences a person can have, but it's also one of the most frustrating experiences a person can have. But I think the same could be said, or the opposite could be said, about the children. Being a child, it could be one of the most amazing experiences a person could ever have, and also one of the most frustrating because of this relationship they have with their parents. You know, God's desire, I think what he wants us to know this morning, his desire is that something of heaven and something of himself would be seen in the parent-child relationship. So God wants to see something of himself and something of heaven to break into our homes and transform the way that we will parent our children, but also the way that the children interact with the parents. He wants us to breathe new life into our homes through the change that happens as a person believes the gospel. And so again, we have been going through this letter for some time now. In the last few weeks, we have looked at how God desires to change the relationships that we have. First of all, we looked at the church and so how we interact with each other. There are a bunch of fallen and broken and sinful people that come together into this community of faith, we call a church, each and every week, day in and day out. And there will be conflict that happens as we come together inside of this body. But we should be different and respond differently to one another than everything else we see in the world because we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we don't have all our stuff together. We don't have it all figured out. We don't have it all right. But when things go sideways, we should know how we are to respond to each other. So no longer are we supposed to be gossiping about one another, slandering one another, filled with anger and hate for each other. Instead, we are to bear with one another. We put up with each other, right? We put up with each other. All the quirks and differences, if they are not gospel related, sometimes we just need to be set those things aside. Overlook the offenses that happen within the body and forgive one another when conflict does arrive. We are to be a gospel people. But God wants to not just transform the way that this community interacts with one another. He wants to transform the way that we interact with one another at home. God is interested in our marriages, as we saw last week. And God is also interested in the way that children and parents communicate and act with each other in the home. He wants to transform these relationships to be more Christ-like. He wants us to represent Jesus well in our houses. And so, this morning we're going to examine this relationship. And the first place that we need to start is where Paul addresses first. He addresses the children. He addresses the children, and he says here in chapter 3, verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." This pleases the Lord. I want to acknowledge this morning that some of the children that are here may not have a parent that takes care of them or who is responsible for them. It might be an aunt or an uncle. It might be a foster parent. But you need to know that no matter who it is that is taking care of you, God is pleased when you live under their authority and you obey them. That God looks down from heaven and sees you, the heart that you have to obey this person who is responsible for you, and he delights in the fact that you will obey them and do what they ask you to do. And because I'm a dad this morning, I can tell you from experience that that parents, they don't always know what they're doing, right? They put on a particular look that they know what they're doing, but we don't always know how to interact with one another in a way that pleases God. And sometimes we will fail. You know, we don't always know how to talk to you about the things that you're feeling right now. And we don't always have the answer for every question that you're going to ask us. And sometimes we're just as lost as you are about something. Sometimes that is the truth. We're just as lost as you are. But what I can tell you is that every parent will want to do what is best for you. And because we want to do what is best for you, sometimes we are going to ask you to do things that you don't want to do. And that's where that tension comes in, right? You want to do something completely different than your parent is asking you to do, but I can tell you this morning that a parent will always ask you to do what they think is best for you at that time. So here the Bible says that a child is to obey. A child is to obey. And my hope as a dad is that my kids are going to learn, at least over time, I hope they learn that their father is trustworthy. That I'm trustworthy. I hope that's the case. That I'm going to do everything that I can to lead them toward good things. And so when I give them a command, you know, it might be to clean their room. It might be to clear the table. It might be something they do not want to do at that time. But I hope that what they will do is know, Dad will not ask me to do that if he doesn't have a good reason. They trust that I'm asking them to do something because I have a good reason. And kids, I know that your parents want the same thing in you. Now, as you're obeying your mom and dad, you are also obeying, the Bible is telling us, you're obeying your heavenly Father, that it pleases him. He sees everything in your home that takes place. And when you obey your mother and you obey your father, it pleases the Lord. He loves that in you as he watches you obey your parents. But I need to say a word about obedience, what it means to obey. Ultimately, obedience comes from the heart. It comes from the heart. You know, I can tell one of my children to clean the table off after dinner, and they will go through the motions, right? They do it. But I can tell by looking at them, they're saying with their body, yeah, you see me cleaning the table off, but right now I'm actually watching TV on the inside, right? I don't want to do this. I'm doing it on the outside, but I'm not doing it on the inside. I have no desire to be doing this thing right now, even though they're going through the motions. And so first of all, obedience is a heart issue. And so God delights not just when you do what you're told. God's delighting not just when you follow through and do what you're told. God delights when you want to do what you are told. And so he sees what's going on inside your heart. And he knows whether or not you are obeying from the heart or you're just going through the motions to get mom and dad off of your back. So hopefully they're going to leave me alone and I'll just do it to keep them quiet so they won't ask me to do anything else. And so God sees the heart first. And for a child to want to obey, usually there are two factors involved that will lead them to obey their mom and dad. The first factor that could motivate them to want to obey is fear. Fear can lead a child to want to obey. The second one, we'll get to it in a minute, is love. But first, about fear. You know how this works, right? Where a parent was going to say to the child, if you don't do that, I'm gonna, and whatever, right? Fill in the blank. So for each parent, how they fill in that blank's a little bit different. Whatever that is in your house, you are trying to motivate that child to follow through with what you want them to do, and so you threaten them in some way in the hopes that fear is going to push them toward whatever it is you desire for them to complete. And so a parent can motivate their child by making them afraid of what might happen if they don't do that particular thing. But we also know that fear is not the ultimate goal, is it? We don't really want our children to obey us out of fear. We don't want to scare them into doing something that we desire just because they're afraid that they might get punished. And so we don't want that to be the case. I want my children, and you want your children obeying you because they love you. So kids, our hope as parents is that you will obey, as the scriptures say, ultimately because you love us. You love us and you desire to be pleasing to your parents. So you want, the scriptures are saying, you want the Lord to be pleased with you. You love him, right? You love God. You want him to be pleased with you, so you are going to obey what God says for you to do. Well, it's the same way with your parents. You want your parents to delight in you. You want them to rejoice in you. You want them to rejoice in your very being. And because of that, you are going to do what they ask you to do out of love and not out of fear. So the hope is that a child's obedience will show their love for their parents. So a child is going to obey because they love mom and dad. So I know we've got some small kids in here, so let me try to say it in a different way to them. When you obey your parents from your heart, man, you want to. And so when your parents are asking you to do something that on the inside you might not really want to do, but you choose to do so because you love them, you're motivated by love for them, when you do that from the heart, it shows that you have love for them, but it also shows you have love for God because he's the one that is commanding you to obey your parents. So I want my kids to clear off the table or clean their room, not just because I'm trying to get it done, right? It's just a duty to perform. Hopefully I'm looking a little bit bigger picture with them. And I'm wanting to mold and shape and train their hearts ultimately by love and grace, not by fear. So we can be harsh with our kids and get what we want, right? But that's not really what we want. Are you really just wanting a clean room? Are you really just wanting them to obey just because you said so? Or are you wanting to train their heart so that later on in life, when God is commanding them to do something that's very difficult, that ultimately they are going to listen to God's word? They're going to know that God loves and cares for them. They're going to be motivated by love for him to do the difficult thing that he's asking them to do. So that's our goal as parents and kids. God loves and is pleased with your obedience to mom and dad. Let me say one last thing about children before we move on to the other half. How long, it's just a practical question, how long does a child obey his parents? How long is that supposed to last, right? And I think it's probably best to say, because I mean, many of you all here this morning aren't living in your parents' house anymore, right? So how is that interaction supposed to take place? How long are you supposed to obey mom and dad, right? So I think the best thing to say is that a child is to always honor their parents. A child always honors their parents. That's going to look a little bit different in everybody's home, right? So the way that you honor your mom and dad as a 50-year-old is going to be different than the person sitting next to you. But I think the obedience factor here, like a child with mom and dad as they're growing up, I think that comes to a completion or it ends when that child eventually has a house of their own or is responsible for themselves to a certain extent. All right, so I've been telling my girls, I've got 6 girls, right? And the oldest ones, I try to communicate to them, you know, ultimately, I as your father am responsible for you, whether they like it or not, okay, until I hand them off to another man. That's the way I see my daughters, okay? That I feel like I am responsible. I don't know how old that's going to be. I mean, they might be 20, they might be 30, they might be 40. That's just the way that I think of my daughters, that I am called by God to be responsible for them until I hand them off to another man. It doesn't mean that they necessarily are living in my home. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm taking care of them anymore. But I see them in such a way that I am called by God to be responsible for them until another man comes along and he loves them more than I do, in a sense, and he's going to take care of them. It's my responsibility as a dad. Now, your sons, I don't know, right? I've only got one of those, and we've not quite gotten there yet. But until they become responsible up to a certain point, it doesn't mean that I expect my daughters to obey me until I'm 40. I'm not trying to communicate that. I just feel like my responsibility toward them, as the way that I care for them, is until I can hand them off to someone else. But my children, when they become responsible, they have their own homes, they have their own life, there's something that happens in that parent-child relationship where you're letting them go. You're letting them go. They don't listen to everything I say anymore. I don't have to get upset about it. They're going to take care of themselves. And so that's going to be different. It's not just when somebody turns 18. You know, we got some 18-year-olds who just say, oh, I'm an adult now and I get to do whatever I want to do. That's just not the way that it works, all right? So there is an understanding in that parent-child relationship where they no longer are underneath the thumb, in a way, of mom and dad. And there are periods in life where you are slowly releasing them out into the world where, you know, you're not telling them everything what they're supposed to do in life anymore. And so each person needs to work that out as time goes on. What I would say is that the command by God to honor your mother and your father, that lasts forever. We're not released from that, even if you are 70 years old and your parents are 95 and still kicking, right? You still honor your mother and father, though you don't necessarily listen to them in the same way that you used to. And so I think that might be one practical way for some of us who are older to have that play out with our moms and with our dads, is that we are to honor them. So that's one side of our verses this morning. The other is for parents. The other is for parents. And so what does Paul say to the parents? He says, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So notice, first of all, that Paul does not address parents in general. He addresses fathers. Let me give you 2 reasons for this, why I think he's doing that. And I think the first one is practical, because the fathers were in Paul's day, and they are in our day, at least viewed by God, as the head of the home. He is called to lead in his house. We saw that last week in the interaction that he has with his wife. That also carries over into his relationship with his children. The father is called to set the tone of the house and to lead his family. He's responsible to train his children. That responsibility is to be resting upon all the dads in this room. And one of the problems that we have so often, whether it's in the church or in the community in general, is that the father abdicates that role and the mother then must fill it. And so many moms do a wonderful job being both mom and dad for their kids. But fathers, you are called to lead in your homes. And that's why Paul is addressing the fathers here. A dad is not supposed to check out emotionally on his family, and he is not to check out physically on his family. He is to sacrifice himself for their sake, like Jesus does for his church. And so, dads, you are to represent Jesus in your home. And I know that is a high, high calling. But that is what God has called you and I to. And that is a role that we alone are supposed to fulfill. But those moms who are so dutifully caring for their children in this way, being both mom and dad, you just need to know that God has a reward for you. He sees you, he knows what you're going through, and he will reward you personally for what you are doing in your homes. But a father is supposed to answer and will answer for how he has led and how he has loved his family. I believe he will do that before God. Before he answers for how he has served in the church, I believe my responsibility is first and foremost to my family, and I will answer for them before I answer for anybody else that has been under my care in any church, right? I believe as my wife and my children, first and foremost, before God. You will answer for your family before you will answer about how hard you worked or how you served in the community or how much money you made. You will answer to God for how you cared for the little church that is in your home known as a family. And so, men, you are called to lead. And that's the first reason why I think Paul is addressing fathers here. And the second reason that this is addressed to fathers is because the dad's role in the home is patterned after our Father in heaven. The dad's role in the home is patterned after what we know about our Father in heaven. And so, dads, the way you parent your children, and I can even include moms here, okay? Because I know I've got a lot of single moms or moms in this room that take care of their kids. The way that you parent your children represents God to your family. Represents who God is and what he is like to your family. And again, I know that is a high calling, but being a parent is just that. It is a huge responsibility where you are representing God to them. The way that you talk to them, the way that you discipline them, the things that you teach them, the things that matter to you most, these things represent or should represent God to your children in such a way that they would want to draw near to him and not run away from him. Does that make sense? And so the way that you interact with your kids, the way that you love them, the way that you handle them, discipline them, they should see something of God in you that would draw them to their Father in heaven. Not misrepresent their Father in heaven in such a way as that they would not want to come to him. And so while they are small, you are the closest thing to God that they will see with their eyes. Wow, I mean, that is a statement that should shake some of us in the way that we take care of our children. You are the closest thing to God that they will see with their eyes. So a parent, and the way that they run their home, the way they settle conflict, the way that they use their words, all of these things, you are representing God and his fatherhood to your children. They need to see God in you. And so again, God wants to rearrange your home in such a way where it is like heaven has broken into earth, which means something of him needs to be represented in each parent that is here. And for those of you who have not had kids yet, please take this to heart and prepare yourself for the day when you have children of your own so that your home is arranged in such a way that it is pleasing to God. The way that you use your words, the way that you interact with your kids, that you might have come from a background where everything was falling apart, everybody just screamed and beat each other. You know that is not the way that God desires for your home to function. He wants order in your home. He wants love in your home. And you are representing God to your kids. So I'll get that in your mind now, and you will be prepared for the day, hopefully prepared through the Word of God for when you have children of your own. So after saying these things, these two things about why Paul addresses fathers here, I want to expand this just a little bit to parents in general, if I've not already. Because there is so much that is done in partnership between a mom and a dad inside of the home. And generally speaking, it's the mom that spends most of her time with the kids anyway, right? I mean, generally speaking, that's usually the way that it works. A mom spends more time with her kids. And so what is it here that Paul is telling parents they are not to do? He approaches this from a negative way, right? Parents, do not, he says, do not do what? Do not provoke a child that leads to their discouragement. Do not provoke a child that leads them to be discouraged. And so does this mean that you should never do anything that upsets little Johnny? Oh, let's just walk on eggshells around little Johnny because he always gets upset when we tell him what to do and everything goes a little bit smoother in the home. Well, we know that's not what Paul is getting at here. I think there might be some that parent that way and it spoils the child because he has no discipline in him. And that's not what he's getting at. So what is it that provokes a child in the sense here that makes them be discouraged? I think what it is that we know from what we've already seen that God has given parents the authority over their children. He says they are supposed to obey their parents, which means they have authority over them. And so there is a possibility, that a parent would misuse the authority that they have over their kids, which could result in a child having a broken spirit. They have a broken spirit. They're listless. They don't care that much about life anymore because the parent has misused their authority in such a way where they just, I don't have any desire anymore. I don't feel like I can do anything right in front of them. It doesn't matter what I do, they always get on me about it, so I'm just not even going to try anymore. And so I think that's probably what Paul is getting at here. They have become so beaten down emotionally that all the joy they have in life has been stolen from them. And so if this can happen, and it does, we would naturally as parents, I hope we as parents would want to avoid this. We don't want to provoke our children in such a way as that they're going to be discouraged and listless and broken and hopeless in life. And so what is it that we can keep from doing that would lead our children down this path? What should we not do in order not to discourage our kids? And so let me give you two ways a parent can discourage a child in hopes that we won't do these things. We don't want to fail in these areas. The first way that a parent can discourage a child is that they can fail to make Christ their greatest treasure. I'm talking about the parents. And so I think this is where our words need to align up with our actions. We need to say what we mean and say what we do, right? And so you can tell your children that they should be more joyful about God than anything else. You can tell your children they're supposed to live for God and love God. But if they do not see that in you, if that is not a reality in you, it can be discouraging for them to be asked by you to do things they don't even think you can do. Does that make sense? That was a lot of words, all right? Let me maybe try to tidy that up just a little bit. And so you ask them to come to church and learn about God. You want them to display compassion and kindness to their friends at school. But when we get home, what do they hear out of you? Do they hear from you that Jesus is your greatest joy? Is there hope in God in you? And has that changed the way you live your life? Because if it hasn't, and you're asking them to do something you don't even know how to do, that is truly discouraging for a child. Truly. Many people would call that being a hypocrite. And we don't want to be hypocrites as parents. You might get more excited about getting a raise than you've ever been about Jesus. Your kids see that, right? You'd be more excited if the Bills would win a playoff game than to see one person come to know Christ, right? Yet you call them to talk to their friends at school about Jesus, but we never seem to talk to our neighbors and people around us about Jesus. And so make sure that you're asking your kids to do what you do. You need to deepen your relationship with Christ as you are calling them to deepen their relationship with Christ. And so parents, you need to practice what you preach. Practice what you preach. Take a look at your life and order it so that your kids know just by watching you that the kingdom of Christ is actually important to you. They should just be able to observe the way you do things in your home to see that Jesus makes a difference in your life, because I think that's what you want for them. That's what I think kids want from their parents as well. So they have to see it in you before they know that it's a possibility for them. In Ephesians, Paul adds the phrase, bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so it's a parent's responsibility to train them about all the things concerning God. But that has to be backed up by what the parent then does. So don't just use your words to tell your kids. Use your actions to tell them that you're following Jesus. So the way that we believe the gospel is going to be evident right there in front of them. That means, you know, if the gospel is evident in front of them in our homes, we should never be afraid to ask forgiveness from our kids. I mean, how many of you parents are afraid to say, I'm sorry that I did that? I'm sorry. Or is it just easier to justify what I did because I have this authority over my kids? I don't think any parent in this room, I hope not, I hope no parent in this room ever wakes up in the morning and says, you know, today I'm going to make it my purpose in life to mess up my kid, right? Man, I don't think anybody ever wakes up and says something like that. Like, I'm going to wake up today and I'm going to do whatever I can to make her life miserable. You know, we don't do that. We don't do that, but we do make mistakes. We do mess up as parents. And when we notice it, we see that we've made a mistake, we need to be able to go to our children and ask forgiveness for them, because that models the gospel of Jesus Christ that we say that we believe. So we need to put that into practice in our homes. So when you lose your cool, when you realize that your heart has become more captivated by things than Jesus, they need to hear it from you. They need to hear you ask them forgiveness. They need to hear it come off of your lips. You need to show them that your sins have actually been forgiven by Christ as you repent of wrongdoing to them. I think I and every parent in here this morning can take heart to find a way to live more like gospel-changed people in our homes right there in front of our kids this week. I think everybody in here can find a way to do that, to demonstrate the gospel to our children. So that, Paul says, so that they will not be discouraged. They will not be discouraged when we ask them to do the same thing, because that'll discourage our children. The second way that we can discourage our kids, and probably more closely related to the things that we have in this passage this morning. The second thing that we can do is to fail to discipline them in a consistent and measured way. A failure to discipline your child in a consistent and measured way can lead to their discouragement. And so when a parent is unpredictable, right, they mess up and they have no idea what to expect from you. They don't know what's going to come off your lips. They don't know how you're going to respond. That can lead a child to become discouraged. So the child needs to know what to expect next from a parent. Now, one day, dad is really level-headed. He's in a good mood, and he seems like he responds very, you know, very kindly toward me. Even when I mess up, he's gracious. The next day, something went wrong with dad at work, and everything falls apart. So we never, ever should be disciplining our kids based off the emotion that we have inside of us at that moment. Does that make sense? And so if you're in a good mood, everything's good in the home, all right? So the child's just hoping when dad comes home today, he's happy. But when everything gets a little sideways, I'm a little upset about how things have gone, the kids, they all scatter to their rooms because they don't know what to expect out of their mom or their dad. And so we need to be able to discipline our children in a consistent and measured way. If we are being changed by the power of the gospel, self-control and patience is going to rule in our homes. And we're going to demonstrate the fatherhood of God to our kids when that happens. Because we don't have to wonder, do we? We don't have to wonder if God is forgiving toward us, or if he's gracious, or if he's merciful, or if he's loving. We don't have to guess, because God does not wake up on the wrong side of the bed today, right? God wakes up the same way every day. He didn't wake up, sorry. God is the same every day, right? He's the same every day. So we know what to expect from him. And so in the same way, our kids should know what to expect by the way that we discipline them. If they mess up today doing one particular thing and you respond this way, if it's the right way, you need to make sure that's the way you respond to them tomorrow. They need to know what to expect from their parents, because if they don't, they don't know what's going to happen. And that can be extremely frustrating to a child. They need consistency from mom and dad. So when there are clear rules in the home, when there are limits inside the home, when there's justice inside the home, kids are going to know where the boundaries are, So they know when they bump up against this boundary, they know what to expect, what's going to happen next with their mom and with their dad. I think that it's with those boundaries, that children are going to learn to flourish the most. They're going to find freedom inside of those boundaries. They know what they can do and what extent they can get to before they've met the edge, and they can find a way to flourish inside of those rules. But if there are no rules and it's all mixed up, a kid's just going to throw his hands up and say, I'm not going to do anything now. I don't know what to do next. So they need these rules inside of the home. So parents, we have to be consistent so that we don't provoke our children and lead them to be discouraged. And so if that is what we are not supposed to do, kind of taken from a negative perspective, what's the opposite of that? What is it that a parent is to do? What would Paul maybe implore us to do? Let me say this, and then we'll be done. A parent's responsibility is to use the authority that God has given to them to not tear down their kids, not discourage them, not provoke them. It is to build them up. So a parent uses the authority that God has given to them to build them up into people who trust and hope in God. That's what he desires for us to do, to use our fatherhood and our motherhood in such a way is that they have hope and trust in us, which leads to hope and trust in their God, because we are representing God to our kids in the home. They need to be able to do that based off of what they see in us. They need to be able to see that in us, not be pushed away from God by what they see in us. And so as far as it depends on parents, we have to do whatever we can to draw our children to the Lord. Never discourage them from Him by our example. We don't want our example to ever push our kids away from God. We have a huge privilege from the Lord to represent Him in our homes. And by the power of the gospel, our children should know something of heaven and God Himself by what they see in us. What a privilege and what an honor. And it's only by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit in us that we can fulfill the roles that God is calling us to fulfill in our homes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word. We know, Lord, that because you command children to obey their parents, that they are able to do these things. We ask, God, that you would give grace to our kids this week to have a heart that is not motivated simply out of fear of what might happen so that they obey their parents, but they would be motivated out of love for their parents and for you to obey them. We ask, God, as parents, that we would not misuse our authority. That, God, we've been given a special privilege by you to mold and shape them into people who hope and trust in you. Teach us, God, give us the grace that we need. So, Lord, we do not discourage them. We do not provoke them to anger. Help us, God, to be more consistent in the way that we discipline our children. And I pray, God, that they will also see in us that we treasure Jesus above all else. And so when we call them to treasure Jesus, they have already had it modeled in front of them. This is a high calling. We need your grace. We need your Spirit. We want our homes to be different because of the power of the gospel. Lord God, walk alongside of us this week as we seek to do these things that you've commanded us to do. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.